Om Jnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Dhena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
I know I'm everywhere, but at the same time, I'm not everything.
Which is a real conundrum. It's a real puzzle, because people are not very good at holding these two concepts in their heads at the same time. But Achintya Kaloye Tangstarkena Nayojayet, Krishna, he resolves all these seemingly contradictory situations by being simultaneously everywhere and at the same in his impersonal, in his energy, and at the same time in his personal form, he's distinctly separate and aloof from the manifestation.
And Nanda Chaitanya Prabhu, can you give us any more evidence from the Gita about Krishna's situation, his transcendental position, and its effect on those who think of him, worship him? You keep. While you're thinking of it, please recite the verse again so they can look it up. The one you gave as evidence. Yeah. Okay, go ahead, Ananta.
I'm not exactly sure what you want me to say.
I know how you feel. That's how I feel 24 hours a day. What I'm asking for, just spontaneously, because you're a wealth of transcendental information, teaching Krishna consciousness 24 hours a day, thinking of Krishna 24 hours a day, share with us some thought about the way in which Krishna describes himself, or the Srimad Bhagavatam describes how Krishna is mystically situated or is transcendental. Well,
I like that verse that you quoted. That's one of the first ones in the Bhagavad Gita that stood out for me, that 9.4, right? That he's everywhere in his unmanifested form. And yeah, but I don't know if I can.
What does it mean to you in a practical way? When you think of that verse, if you've contemplated it, what does it mean to you practically?
That he's beyond our mental abilities to understand him. That's how great he is.
Yeah, if we could understand him with our mind, then he wouldn't be God. Because God's the greatest. How could we understand the greatest? Way in which I want to understand everything is also a way of wanting to control everything. Because as soon as I understand it with my intellect, then I say, oh, I've got it. Now I've got it. But God's not understandable in that way. He reveals himself only to those whom he chooses. Can you support that by Shastra? Yes, Govinda? Give Govinda the mic. Well done, by the way. Thank you very much. Oh, yeah, use the mic. Because at home, the devotees want to hear. Okay, we need a tech department here. The microphone is... Now, please understand, when you're in this assembly and you're speaking, you're part of the studio audience, which means you're performing for the rest of the world on camera. So you have to be a little forthright. Sit up and deliver.
From Mukunda Upanishad, Nayam Atma Pravachanena Labhyo Na Medhaya Na Bahudha Shrutena Yen Esha Vrinute Ten Labhya Tasya Atma
Tasya Esha
Tasya Esha Atma Tanum Swam. So, Nayam Atma Pravachanena Labhyo. So, Lord cannot be achieved by Pravachan, by actually hearing. Na Medhaya, not by intelligence, na Bahudha Shrutena, not by hearing a lot, or Shrutena, even by reading of scriptural knowledge. Yam Esha Vranute, one who Lord select, Vranute selects, Tel Labhya. Actually, that person can achieve the Lord. Tase Esha Atma Vimudite. So, Tanum Swam. So, actually, to that person, he reveals his Tanu, the form, Tanum Swam.
It's personal form. So, it's only when he decides that I'll reveal myself that he does. And very good. Well done. Important verse. Do we have some? Did you dig in and find the verse that Navina quoted? Give her the mic. Let's see.
Achintya kalige bhava natam starkena yojayet prakriti vyaparam yacha tadachintya silakshanam. Anything transcendental to all material nature is called inconceivable, whereas arguments are all mundane. Since mundane arguments cannot touch transcendental subject matters, one should not try to understand transcendental subjects through mundane arguments.
Don't be a tarki. Tarkis try to understand by argument. Yes? And where's it from?
The Mahabharata.
Which parva?
Bhishma parva, 5.22.
Five what?
Fifth chapter, 22nd verse.
5.22. Bhishma Parva. Okay, thank you. Well done. Yes.
So in support of that, we can also quote Atai Shri Krishna Namadi Na Bhavet Grahyam Indriyahi Sevan Mukhehi Jivvado Swayam Eva Suruti Adaha.
Ramananda Sakaprabhu, do you concur that this is another good verse, Atai Shri Krishna Namadi, to bring into this particular discussion at this time? Give him the microphone. You can defend your position why you consider this to be. Tell us what the verse means. Atashi Krishna Namadi Nabhaved Graim Indriye Sevam Bukihi Jivado Swayameva Spuratyada.
Actually, I'm not good at all the verses, although I know the understanding of in general understanding.
Good. Give us the general understanding. That's what we're interested in.
Okay. So can you say the verse again?
Okay, we'll break it down. Ata Shri Krishna Namadi Nabhaved Grayam Indriye. Indriya means what?
Senses.
Yes, so Ata Shri Krishna Namadi. So Krishna can't be understood by the blunt material senses. And then the rest of the verse is that Sevon. Seva means?
A service.
Mukhihi jiva adao.
Tongue.
And adao. Beginning with Hajimeru means to begin. And Swayameva Spuratyada. So, just give a general understanding.
So, the Krishna cannot be understood by the gross senses. By engaging our tongue in the service of Krishna, he will reveal himself.
That was perfect. Yeah. So this bodes well for the bhakti yogi. As the bhakti yogi approaches Krishna, understanding that he's the supreme, that I can't understand him by my blunt material senses, but if I simply become his devotee and serve him, and he's satisfied, and he'll reveal himself. And then this is given even, this gives even more detail of how to serve him. Jihwa. If you begin with the tongue, and especially the Shastra says a lot about how you can use your tongue in order to serve Krishna. You can do seva to Krishna with your tongue. And Ramananda Sakaprabhu was handing off the microphone to Navina Niradipuru. So I guess that means Navina is going to give some he'll give a verse or some anecdote which will explain how it is that by using our tongue we can serve Krishna. How do you serve Krishna with the tongue according to Shastra?
Hare Krishna. Vacha Vegam, Manasa Krodha Vegam, Jiva Vegam, Udarupasta Vegam. So the tongue is coming regularly because it is the most ferocious or the most active of all the senses. It's very difficult for the tongue to be ever still. So we have two main functions, vacha, speaking, and eating. And in both ways, that can be executed in Krishna consciousness by speaking about Krishna and by tasting Krishna prasad. So very fortunate that we have these opportunities. Whereas in other processes, they are trying to discipline or master the tongue without Krishna katha and Krishna prasad. And it is exceedingly difficult for people to do monavrat or to go on long fasts or to live on some very subhuman foodstuffs. So we're fortunate to have this sublime process of Krishna consciousness, which allows us to use our faculties in Krishna's service.
So one of the ways you mentioned is by eating for Krishna.
Yes, and speaking Krishna katha.
Speaking Krishna katha. So from the pundit circle, please find a verse that you already have read several times. If you, a clue is if you've been attending programs at ISV on Saturdays, Sundays, and Wednesdays, which you have, it's a verse that you've read several times. And it's spoken by Uddhava. And it says much the same thing. I don't know if it's in the verse book, though. You may have to dig deeper. Because he says, just by taking the remnants of Krishna's food, wearing his garlands, one overcomes the material nature. How would you find it if it's not in the verse book? Call a friend? Be inventive. You might have to go to the booth. That's another clue. We'll give you some time to figure it out, but you're so inventive, I'm sure you'll find it. So where in the Bhagavad Gita does Krishna mention remnants? What is, first of all, what is the name in Sanskrit for remnants? See, you've got a mentor here, so that's good. Remnants means? Uchishta. Where in the Bhagavad Gita does Krishna mention Uchishta? And say that if you take Uchishta, then third chapter, but where? You got to give the verse. By the way, Avantika, I recommend you look at the screen. You're getting a lot of help from the gods. So in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna talks about, in a very general way, about how if you take remnants of food from that are offered for sacrifice, then you get purified. And if you don't, if you eat food that's just, you take it as sense gratification, what is it said in the Bhagavad Gita? What is said? Bring the book. What is said in the Bhagavad Gita that is the opposite of eating uchishta? What are you eating instead? It's three words. What kind of sin? Lumps of sin. Would you like a little lump of sin sabji? What's in the sabji today? Lumps of sin. What are those things in there? Lumps of sin. Would you eat it? No. What's the verse from Bhagavad Gita? Go ahead. Give Malini the mic. She's got it.
Bhagavad Gita 3:13. Yajna shishtashina shanto muchyante sarvakit vishayi bhunjate ta agham papa ye pachante atma karanat.
Give us the word for word.
Yajna shishta, food taken after performance of yajna. Asina, eaters. Shantaha, the devotees. Muchyante, get relief. Sarva, all kinds of. Kilbishai, from the sins. Bhunjate, enjoy. Te, they, tu, but. Agam, grievous sins. Papaha, sinners. Ye, who. Pachanti, prepare food. Atma karanat, for sense enjoyment.
Translation.
The devotees of the Lord are released from all kinds of sins because they eat food which is offered first for sacrifice. Others who prepare food for personal sense enjoyment verily eat only sin.
Purport.
The devotees of the Supreme Lord are the persons who are in Krishna consciousness are called Shantas, and they are always in love with the Lord, as it is described in the Brahma Samhita 5:38. Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena Santa Sadaiva Hridayeshu Vilokayanti. The Shantas, being always in a compact of love with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda, the giver of all pleasures, or Mukunda, the giver of liberation, or Krishna, the all-attractive person, cannot accept anything without first offering to the Supreme Person. Therefore, such devotees always perform yajnas in different modes of devotional service, such as Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Archanam, etc. And these performances of yajnas keep them always aloof from all kinds of contamination of sinful association in the material world. Others who prepare food for self or sense gratification are not only thieves, but also eaters of all kinds of sins. How can a person be happy if he is both a thief and sinful? It is not possible. Therefore, in order for people to become happy in all respects, they must be taught to perform the easy process of Sankirtan Yajna in full Krishna consciousness. Therefore, there can be no peace or happiness in this world.
Otherwise,
there can be no peace or happiness in this world.
Impressive, isn't it? And very directed in a practical way to how we can adjust our lifestyle. A lifestyle upgrade by changing what you eat to those things that have been offered in sacrifice. And now, let's hear your verse here. Take the microphone and tell us which verse number it is.
It's 11th canto, 6th chapter, 46th verse.
Okay. What's the name of the chapter?
The Yadu dynasty retires to Prabhasa.
What's that chapter about? What happened at Prabhas? Hari Vamsha, give him the mic. He's smiling. No, we got to hear. Keep up because you got more to do.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Welcome back to Hari Vamsha.
I'm very happy to be back.
We're very happy to have a Hari Vamsha sighting.
So it was another.
We don't take it for granted anymore. Okay, go ahead.
It was another spectacular display by Krishna and his internal potency, that how his pastimes are divya. And at one instance he is honoring the curse which was given by Gandhari at the end of Mahabharata, that just like you were instrumental in destroying the Kaurava race, your race also shall be destroyed. But again, it was Krishna's leela that at Prabhasa, all the Yadus got engaged in a fratricidal war and they brutally killed each other using the spades of iron which grew out of a dust of iron, which was actually a pulverized club which came from the imaginary womb of Samba, who was trying to joke with the rishis, what will come out of my womb? And they figured out that it's a symptom of pride, so they cursed that what will come out of the womb will be the destruction of your dynasty. So Prabhas Kshetra is also a divine pastime place for Sri Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. And Navina Narada Prabhu, tell us some of the other reasons why Krishna annihilated his whole family in that way before leaving the world.
Hare Krishna. Well, they're the Yadukulas, so they're very powerful. No one can touch them. Besides Krishna, no one was capable of doing that. So Krishna, he orchestrated it himself personally. Also, pride was mentioned, coming from a great heritage. It's sometimes seen that people can misbehave or being misunderstood, so Krishna did not want that to propitiate, so he just wrapped up the entire pastime. And he also showed to give everybody this lesson that you may come from a good family or from a famous dynasty, but better be mindful how you behave towards the sages.
Yes, very good.
And also there were different entities from different parts of the universe, and it was understood that they needed to go back to their services. So he just wrapped up their pastime here quickly so they could go back and continue their services as demigods or move back to the spiritual world.
Very good points. Thank you. And Malini, he had brought up the fact that there were different entities who had joined the pastimes of Krishna from various places when he came. What is the terminology for that? And when do we first hear about that in the 10th canto, when Krishna's about to appear in the world? Who mentions this, or how is it mentioned, in what context, that many people will appear?
So when demigods went and asked, this is my understanding, when demigods went and asked Brahma that this world is overburdened by the sins of many people and then the atrocities of demons, they go and pray, then ask Brahma, and Brahma, he goes and prays on the shore of the milk ocean, asking Vishnu about this one, and then Vishnu, he gives instruction in the mind of Brahma, saying that I will appear myself as Krishna, and all the demigods will take birth in this world to assist me in all these pastimes.
Yes, very good. And so there, as mentioned, that there are entities that come from various levels of consciousness and of development in Krishna consciousness, particularly to join Krishna's pastimes, correct? Where else do we find a description of the various levels of people who have joined Krishna's pastimes? In Krishna's leela, where is it described that there are many different kinds of living entities who have joined his leela in this world when he comes? Who gives a detailed explanation of that? And in what part of the Bhagavatam? Obviously, 10th canto. Yes, Bali Mardan Prabhu. Well done, Malini and Navina Narada Prabhu.
Well, I don't know if you are referring the one, but there is one purport in 10th canto Prabhupada mentioned about the gopis and how from Dandakaranya forest, the sages who saw Lord Ramachandra when in the forest, and they are very much attracted. And then Lord blessed them that in the next millennium, in Dwapara Yuga, you'll be associating with me. And Prabhupada mentioned that there are some liberated gopis who descend from the spiritual world, and there are some gopis who are elevated from this world, so they join in the pastimes of the Lord.
Very good. Excellent. And there are more details to that. Makaravind will fill us in a little bit more.
I believe you are referring to this verse, Ittam Satam Brahma
Sukham. What's that?
Ittam Satam Brahma Sukham Nubhutya.
Don't say it tentatively. When you bring a theory and just belt it out like you know what you're talking about.
Is in the 10th canto, 12th chapter, verse number 11, when Sukhdev Goswami is instructing Maharaj Parikshit that how those who are the cowherd boyfriend of Krishna, they are not this ordinary person, they have amassed the pious activity for many, many lives. That's why they are his friends. They have. And then he described that how different kinds of people. Itham satam brahma sukhan abhutya dashyam gatanam nir paradayagatena maya shritanam niradarakena sakam vijraho krita punya punya. How they have amassed the pious activity for many, many lives, and that's why they are now friends.
Very good evidence from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Itam satam brahma sukhana bhutya. This is describing how there's different levels of people who joined. And the question was about the different kinds of living entities who have joined. Bali Mardan brought up that there are different kinds of gopis. There's a description of this in the Bhagavatam, especially Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. He gives the various kinds of gopis who joined. My question now is that when is that very specifically revealed that there were gopis on different levels who entered into the rasa dance? And I'll give you, okay, Naveen has already got it, so go ahead.
Hare Krishna. When Krishna was calling the gopis to come and join him in the forest, then different scenarios are taking place. Some were held back from joining him. Some gave up their bodies and immediately took on spiritual bodies and joined him. And others, they just took off, and in their very same bodies, they went there. So there Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is getting into the different categories that you just explain.
Thank you. It's revealed that there were some gopis that were held back by their families. They couldn't join, and therefore there are different descriptions how they gave up their bodies. Someone's described how they gave up the last vestiges of any kind of connection they had with the material world. It was burned up in the fire of their anxiety to join Krishna when they were held back. And therefore, if you're ever held back, sometimes devotees say, I can't go to the temple or the dham. I always ask, what's better, to be at home wishing you were in the temple, or to be in the temple wishing you were home? Or to be in the dham and wish you were in Delhi, or to be in Delhi and wishing you were in the dham? Lord Chaitanya says that we should live in Vrindavan 24 hours a day. If we can't live there physically, we should live there within our minds and hearts. And if one serves the Sankirtan movement, one can enter into that mood by entering the ocean of the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One comes out on the shore of Radha and Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. How could we prove that, Avantika? As a clue, it's a song we sing regularly. Just sing the first line of the song. It's in Too Tall. It's one of the only bhajans we sing regularly. In Too Tall. Don't give it away. Unless they call a friend, you can't help them. Mm-hmm. Gaurangera Dutipada. What's mentioned in that song? You can say just what you just said. That song, it mentions. And who wrote the song? Narottam Das Thakur? He says, if you dive into the ocean of the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, you come out on the shore of the oceans of Radha Krishna. And how did you all do with this? The verse over here. Can you bring us back to why we brought this verse up and then quote the verse, please?
I think we brought this verse up to mention, to show that by eating Krishna prasad and thinking about Krishna, talking about Krishna, engaging in Krishna's activities,
yeah,
we can go back to him. And the verse is from the 11th canto, 6th chapter, and 46th verse that mentions Tvayo pa bhukta sarghanda vasulankara chartita vishita bhojano dasa tavamayam jayam jamin lihi. And the translation is, simply by decorating ourselves with the garlands, fragrant oils, clothes and ornaments that you have already enjoyed, and by eating the remnants of your meals, we, your servants, will indeed conquer your illusionary energy.
Purport.
It is clear from this verse that Uddhava is not approaching the Lord for liberation from the illusionary energy. As a personal confidential associate of Lord Krishna, Uddhava was undoubtedly a completely liberated soul. He is praying to the Lord because he cannot bear the thought of living without Krishna even for a moment. This feeling is called love of Godhead, love of God. Uddhava is addressing the Lord as follows. Even if your illusory energy tries to attack us, my Lord, we will easily conquer her by our powerful weapons, which are the remnants of your foodstuffs, clothes, ornaments, and so on. In other words, we will easily conquer over Maya by Krishna Prasadam, and not by useless speculation and mental concoction.
Nice verse. Thank you very much. Well done. So, becoming a devotee of Krishna is the topmost of all processes for understanding the Lord. In fact, it's the only way to understand the Lord, because Krishna reveals himself only to his devotees and those who approach him out of love. If you were to prove from the Bhagavad Gita that Bhakti Yoga is the topmost yoga system, which verse would you quote? Microphone.
I don't remember the verse. Can I check my phone?
Yes. It's not necessarily about knowing all the verses, but knowing where to look them up. If you have a familiarity where they are, because you're going over them so much and hearing about it, then if you can't remember it right away, you'll look it up. And gradually, then they'll be available to you if you continue to do that. And that's important. Yes?
Bhagavad Gita 6:47.
Yes.
Yoginam api sarvesham matgatenam taratmanam shraddhavan bhajate yomam samayukta tamomataha. Translation?
Yes.
And of all yogis, the one with great faith, who always abides in me, thinks of me within himself, and renders transcendental loving service to me, he is the most intimately united with me in yoga, and is the highest of all. That is my opinion.
Purport.
The word bhajate is significant here. Bhajate has its root in the verb bhaj, which is used when there is need of service. The English word worship cannot be used in the same sense as bhaj. Worship means to adore or to show respect and honor to the worthy one. But service with love and faith is especially meant for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One can avoid worshipping a respectable man or a demigod and may be called discourteous. but one cannot avoid serving the Supreme Lord without being thoroughly condemned. Every living entity is part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And thus, every living entity is intended to serve the Supreme Lord by his own constitution. Failing to do this, he falls down. The Bhagavatam 11.53 confirms this as follows. Ya esham purusham sakshat atma prabhavam ishvaram na bhajantya vajananti sthanat brashta patantya daha. Anyone who does not render service and neglects his duty unto the primeval Lord, who is the source of all living entities, will certainly fall down from his constitutional position. In this verse, also the word bhajanti is used. Therefore, bhajanti is applicable to the Supreme Lord only, whereas the word worship can be applied to demigods or to any other common living entity. The word avajananti used in this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam is also found in the Bhagavad Gita. Avajananti ma mudha. Only the fools and rascals deride the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. Such fools take it upon themselves to write commentaries on the Bhagavad Gita without an attitude of service to the Lord. Consequently, they cannot properly distinguish between the word bhajanti and the word worship. The culmination of all kinds of yoga practices lies in bhakti yoga. All other yogas are but means to come to the point of bhakti in bhakti yoga. Yoga actually means bhakti yoga. All other yogas are progressions toward the destination of bhakti yoga. From the beginning of karma yoga to the end of bhakti yoga is a long way to self-realization. Karma yoga without fruitive results is the beginning of this path. When karma yoga increases in knowledge and renunciation, the stage is called jnana yoga. When jnana yoga increases in meditation on the super soul by different physical processes and the mind is on him, it is called ashtanga yoga. And when one surpasses the ashtanga yoga and comes to the point of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, it is called bhakti yoga, the culmination. Factually, bhakti yoga is the ultimate goal. But to analyze bhakti yoga minutely, one has to understand these other yogas. The yogi who is progressive is therefore on the true path of eternal good fortune. One who sticks to a particular point and does not make further progress is called by that particular name. Karma yogi, jnana yogi or dhyana yogi, raja yogi, hatha yogi, etc. If one is fortunate enough to come to the point of bhakti yoga, it is to be understood that he has surpassed all other yogas. Therefore, to become Krishna conscious is the highest stage of yoga, just as when we speak of Himalayan. We refer to the world's highest mountains, of which the highest peak, Mount Everest, is considered to be the culmination. It is by great fortune that one comes to Krishna consciousness on the path of bhakti yoga to become well situated according to the Vedic direction. The ideal yogi concentrates his attention on Krishna, who is called Shama Sundar, who is as beautifully colored as a cloud, whose lotus-like face is as effulgent as the sun, whose dress is brilliant with jewels, and whose body is flower-garlanded. Illuminating all sides is his gorgeous luster, which is called the Brahma Jyotir. He incarnates in different forms such as Rama, Narasimha, Varaha and Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he descends like a human being as the son of Mother Yashoda, and he is known as Krishna, Govinda and Vasudev. He is the perfect child, husband, friend and master, and he is full with all opulences and transcendental qualities. If one remains fully conscious of these features of the Lord, he is called the highest yogi. This stage of highest perfection in yoga can be attained only by bhakti yoga, as is confirmed in all Vedic literature. Yasya deva para bhaktir yatha deve tatha gurau tasyaite kathita hyartha prakashante mahatmanah. Only unto those great souls who have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master are all the imports of Vedic knowledge automatically revealed. Shvetashvatra Upanishad 6:23. Bhakti rasya bhajanam tad iha mutra padi nairasyena musnin manakalpanam etadeva naishkamyam. Bhakti means devotional service to the Lord, which is free from desire for material profit, either in this life or in the next. Devoid of such inclinations, one should fully absorb the mind in the Supreme. That is the purpose of Naishkamya. Hmm. Gopal Tapani Upanishad 1:15. These are some of the means for performance of Bhakti or Krishna consciousness, the highest perfectional stage of the yoga system.
So this gives proof that bhakti yoga is the topmost of all yoga systems given by Krishna himself in the Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, one can feel free to dedicate one's full attention to thinking about Krishna and his Vrindavan form, especially in Vrindavan. He has various forms that he exhibits. And what are some of the features or qualities of the forms of Krishna that we see in Vrindavan? Madhav Govind looks very interested in this, so we'll give him the microphone and then we'll go to Harivamsa. We want to hear about Krishna's features and qualities in Vrindavan. Various ages, what does he wear, what does he play, where is he born, what are the circumstances under which he's born, who does he play with, who does he kill, who tries to kill him, what kind of colors does he wear, what kind of games does he play. It doesn't have to be elaborate. We'll take anything simple, because even one simple feature of the Lord can enliven the senses, can wake up one's love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Krishna is Shyam Sundar. It's the color of the clouds, the dark clouds.
Out of all Krishna's devotees, as mentioned in the Nectar Devotion, who particularly noticed that and was especially affected when he remembered Krishna's blackish form?
Akrur.
Akrur was definitely affected. But in the Nectar Devotion, it's mentioned how Madhavendra Puri, whenever he'd see a cloud, a dark cloud, that was what color? Anshu?
Of a dark cloud?
Yeah.
It was a dark.
So what happened to Madhavendra Puri when he saw a dark cloud? He remembered Krishna and he fainted. He'd fall on the ground out of a love. Udipana means it's something that reminds you of Krishna, and then it awakens, it stimulates that love that you have for Krishna in your heart. Thank you very much for reminding us that. We sing about how Krishna is Shyamasundar. He has his darkest color. His form is indescribably beautiful. And he has the darkish form. Hari Vamsha.
I'm just remembering Brahma's prayers when he came out of the illusion. Naumi Dyabra Vapushe Taditambaraya Gunjava Tamsam Paripichalasan Mukhaya Vanya Saje Kavala Vetra Vishana Venu Lakshma Shriya Mridupade Pashupanka Jaya. So it's just describing that it's Abhravapushi has a beautiful body and a lightning clothes which are splendid like a lightning, and he has a Vanya Srije, he has a one mala, and Gunja Vatamsa, he has the Gunja flowers, Karnikara flowers, and he is decorated with the forest minerals. Kavala Vetra Vishan Venu, he is holding yogurt rice. He has Venu, he has bugle horns, and Mridupade, his feet are very soft, and to that cowherd boy, I offer my respectful obeisances.
Well done. Sadhu, sadhu. Anshu, go get the Madhya Lila. Look for in the around 24, chapter 24, 25, Krishna's sweetness and opulence, as taught by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to whom? What is the 24th, 25th, 22nd, 23rd, 24th chapters? Who is Lord Chaitanya teaching to? What did you say? Correct. Okay, good. Yes. Other features, qualities of Krishna in Vrindavan. The devotees are getting enlivened like anything. They're starting to come alive. Because this is a watering the root of the tree by hearing about the Supreme Personality of God and Himself. One can go on hearing about the form of the Lord and His qualities and unlimitedly. Yes.
And this is the song that you taught us, like we regularly recites in our from the then gopis glorifies the Venu, the Barha Pidam Natavara Vapuka.
Sing it out with some feeling and drama.
Maybe everyone can sing because everyone is here. Barha Pidam Natavara Vapuka Nayoka Nikaram Vibhratvasa Kanaka Kapisam Vajayantim Chamalam Randran Venu Radhar Sudhaya Purnaya Gopavande Vrinda Vrinda Ranyam Swapada Ramanam Pravisat Gita Kirtihi.
Sadhu, sadhu. Translations.
Wearing a peacock feather ornaments upon his head, blue karnikara flowers on his ears, a yellow garment as brilliant as gold, and the Vajayanti garland, Lord Krishna exhibited his transcendental form as the greatest of dancers as he entered the forest of Vrindavan, beautifying it with the marks of his footprints. He filled the holes of his flute with the nectar of his lips, and the cowherd boys sang his glories.
Well done. Excellent. Anshu, what do you have for us there? Anything? Prabhupada said, my books are like a sugar doll. Anywhere you taste, it's sweet. You find something in there, the sweetness and opulence of Krishna?
I don't know the verse number.
Any verse will do. If you can find something for us, just find something for us. You don't have to know a particular thing, but you take a minute, you research it, you find something sweet to bring back for us, okay? Yes.
From the Brahma Samhita?
Yes.
Venam kvananta maravinda dalayataksham varahavatam samajitam purasundaranam kandarbha koti kamaniya vishesha shubham govinda madhi purusham tamaham bhajami.
Paint the picture for us.
Krishna, who is holding his flute with a blooming eyes like lotus petals, with head decked with peacock's feather, with the figure of beauty tinged with the hue of blue clouds, and his unique loveliness, charming millions of cupids, I worship that Govinda.
Very good. I could tell from Anshu's smile he's got something. He found something in there. Go for it.
So this is Chapter 24, text 42. Krishna's transcendental qualities of opulence, sweetness, and mercy are perfect and full. As far as Krishna's affectionate leaning toward his devotees is concerned, he is so magnanimous that he can give himself to his devotees.
Very nice. Any purport?
No, there's no purport.
Okay, now find another verse and to share with Anushree, and she'll read it out loud. Find her a winner. Yes, Malini.
This is the verse that we sing in the morning when we wake up. Jayati janani vasu deva ki janma vadu yadvara parishat svaitu bhirasyunna dharman sthirachara vijinagna sushmita sri mukhena vajapura vanitanam vardhayan kamadevam. It says, Lord Sri Krishna, he who is known as Jananivasa, the ultimate resort of all living entities, and who is known as Devaki Nandana or Yashoda Nandana, the son of Devaki and Yashoda, he is a guide of the Yadu dynasty, and with his mighty arms he kills everything inauspicious, as well as every man who is impious.
By his presence, he destroys all things inauspicious for our living entities, moving and inert. His blissful, smiling face always increases the lusty desires of the gopis of Vrindavan. May he be all glorious and happy.
Well done. Tell us one leela out of that. Pick one of those sections and recite a leela of Krishna's, that one of those sections of that verse reminds you of.
The one that I was thinking about is Krishna's smiling face. When I heard that when Krishna smiles, that's the best part for the gopis to meditate upon. So that's what I was thinking about.
Very good. Yes, Shraddha, and then Govinda, and then Hansapriya, and then Anushri.
Smala, this is a verse that you gave a lecture on in Mayapur a couple of years ago. This is from the 4th canto, 30th chapter, and verse number 5. Suparnaskandam arudo nirushingam ivam buddha pitavasa mani griva kuvam vitimiradishaha. The translation is, the personality of Godhead appearing on the shoulder of Garuda seemed like a cloud resting on the summit of the mountain known as Meru. The transcendental body of the personality of Godhead was covered by attractive yellow garments, and his neck was decorated with a jewel known as Kaustubha Mani. The bodily effulgence of the Lord dissipated all the darkness of the universe.
Wow. Can you think of another place in Krishna's pastimes when he illuminated by his bodily effulgence a dark place? Okay, say it.
During the time of his birth, the dark place was this prison cell.
And it was illuminated by Krishna.
By him.
Okay, where else? I was thinking of the cave of Muchukunda, Krishna's effulgence. And where else? And let me give you a clue. People in the village complained about it. When he'd go to steal butter, his jewels would illuminate the room so he could see where, in these dark closets where he was stealing the butter from, he could see everything. Okay, so it was Shraddha and then Govinda.
This is I think I've quoted it before, but I have the meaning in front of me. This is talking about the form of the Lord. So I can sing it because I've heard it like that.
Please do.
Kasturi tilakam lalata phalke vakshasthale kaustubham nasagre navamoktikam karatale venum kare kankanam sarvange harichandanam chakalayan kanthe chamuktavali gopastri parivestito vijayate gopal chudamani.
So transported right to the Radharaman Mandir in Vrindavan.
Salutations to Gopal, who is adorned with the sacred marks of Kasturi, musk on his forehead, and Kaustubh jewel on his chest. His nose is decorated with a shining pearl. The palms of his hands are gently holding a flute. The hands themselves are beautifully decorated with bracelets. His whole body is smeared with sandal paste, as if playfully anointed, and his neck is decorated with a necklace of pearls. Surrounded by cowherd women, Gopal is shining in the middle in celebration like a jewel on the head.
From where?
I will have to work on that.
Okay.
I'll let you know.
To be announced. Who is next? Hansapriya.
I just, Malini's verse reminded me that ultimate resort of all pleasure. It reminded me the pastime of Govardhan, lifting Govardhan, that how he gives a shelter to everyone under the Govardhan. And instead of everyone just being worried about like just holding the whole heel on the pinky of the finger, they're falling out, but it's just so captured by his beauty and his charmness. And actually, when we read the pastime, I just see that how the gopis and, you know, the cowherd boys and the parents, how much they are taken up by Krishna's beauty, that I don't even think that they were even concerned about the rain or the, you know, the hill falling on them, or it just the whole misery was actually became a whole glorious incident. And so how just being a shelter, taking a shelter of a Lord, that you know, how it just becomes a, you know, ultimate, not just ultimate resort, but the ultimate pleasurable resort.
Yes, this is a very important point of the mood of Vrindavan, that the devotees are forever absorbed in thinking of Krishna and taking shelter of him. In fact, in the 10th canto in a purport, Prabhupada mentions ashaudi chintayat Vishnum, that one should be in this mentality that everything I do in this world is sanctioned by Krishna, and unless it's approved by Krishna, then the outcome is uncertain. And the verse from the Ayurveda says, ashaudi chintayat Vishnum, that even while taking medicine, one should think of Krishna, because the outcome of the medicine isn't assured unless it's given its potency by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the mood of the devotee is always full dependence on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, only taking shelter of him, only taking one's protection from him. In fact, these are two of the tenets of the surrendering process, that one should always consider Krishna as my maintainer and my protector exclusively. No one else is protecting me, no one else is maintaining me, only Krishna. And now we have Anushri. Did Anshu share something with you? Or did you find it yourself? Or is it a collaborative effort?
No, he found it.
He found it, very good. Good teamwork. Okay, go ahead. Tell us what you have.
It's Madhya Lila chapter 24, verse 103.
And what is the name of the chapter?
Explanations of the Atmarama verse.
Wow. Okay, go ahead.
Whenever Krishna is requested to fulfill one's desire, he undoubtedly does so, but he does not award anything which, after being enjoyed, will cause one to petition him again and again to fulfill further desires. When one has other desires but engages in the Lord's service, Krishna forcibly gives one shelter at his lotus feet, where one will forget all the other desires.
Purport.
This is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 5.19.27.
Let's look at the verse. Satyam dishati artitam artitondrinam naivartato yad swam artito yata swayam vita te bhajatam anichatam icha pitaram nijapadapallavam. Satyam dishati artitam artitondrinam naivartato yad Punartito yata swayam vitate. I'll say, please repeat. Satyam dishati artitam artitonrinam. Naivartato yet punartita yata. Swayam vitate vajitam anichatam. Icha pitan. Ichapidanam nijapada pullavam. And the translation is, the Supreme Personality of Godhead fulfills the material desires of the devotee who approaches him with such motives, but he does not bestow benedictions upon the devotee who will cause him to demand more benedictions again. However, the Lord willingly gives the devotee shelter at his lotus feet, even though such a person does not aspire for it, and that shelter satisfies all his desires. That is the Supreme Personality's special mercy. We'll always remember this as the Anushri verse. And now the purport. Anushri, purport, please.
The devotees mentioned in the previous verse approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead with material motives, but this verse explains how such devotees are saved from those desires. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.3.10 advises,
altogether, akama sarva kama va moksha kama udarati tivrina bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param.
When one is freed from all material desires, whether one is free from all material desires, is full of material desires, or desires to become one with the Supreme, he should engage in devotional service. In this way, not only will the devotee's desires be fulfilled, but the day will come when he will have no other desires than to serve the lotus feet of the Lord. One who engages in the service of the Lord with some motive is called Sakama Bhakta, and one who serves the Lord without any motives is called Akama Bhakta. Krishna is so merciful that he turns a Sakama Bhakta into an Akama Bhakta. A pure devotee is an Akama Bhakta who has no material motives, is satisfied simply to serve the lotus feet of the Lord. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 6.22.
Yam labha chaparam labham manyate narikam tataha.
If one engages in the service of the lotus feet of the Lord, he does not want anything more. This is the highest stage of devotional service. The Lord is so kind, even to a Sakama Bhakta, a motivated devotee, that he satisfies his desires in such way that one day he becomes an Akama Bhakta. Dhruva Maharaj, for example, became a Bhakta with the motive of getting a better kingdom than of his father. But finally he became an Akama Bhakta and said to the Lord,
Swamin Gritartos Nivaram Nayache.
My dear Lord, I am very satisfied simply to serve your lotus feet. I do not want any material benefits. Sometimes it is found that a small child eats dirty things, but his parents take away the dirty things and offer him a sandesh or some other sweet meat. Devotees who aspire for material benedictions are compared to such children. The Lord is so kind that he takes away the material desires and gives them the highest benediction. Therefore, for material motives, one should not worship anyone other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One must fully engage himself in the devotional service of the Lord, so that all his desires will be fulfilled, and at the end he can go back home, back to Godhead. This is explained in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya 2.37.39.41 as follows. Anyakami, a devotee may desire something other than service to the lotus feet of the Lord. Yadi kare Krishna bhajana, but if he engages in the Lord Krishna's service, namagi.
Give the microphone to Shyamalangi and you read the Bengali parts.
Na magiteha Krishna tare dhan sho charon.
Dhan.
Krishna gives him shelter at his lotus feet, even though he does not aspire for it. Krishna kahe, the Lord says,
Ama bhaji.
He is engaged in my service.
Mage bishoye sukh.
But he wants the benefit of material sense.
Now you say, And in Bengali, like she said. The Magi Vishai Shuk.
Amrita Chai.
No, say Magi Vishai Shuk. Say it again for her. You repeat.
Magi Vishai Shuk.
Magi Vishai Shuk. But he wants the benefit of material sense gratification.
Amrit Chari Vishmage.
Say.
Amrit Chari Vishmage.
Very good.
Such a devotee is like a person who asks for poison instead of nectar.
Ei Bada Murkho.
Ei Bada Murkho.
Good.
That is his foolishness.
Ami Biggo.
Ami
Biggo.
Biggo.
But I'm experienced.
Ei murke bishoy keno dibo.
Ei murke bishoy keno dibo.
Yeah.
Why should I give such a foolish person these dirty things of material enjoyment?
Swacharanamrita.
It would be better for me to give him shelter at my lotus feet.
Vishay bhulaibo.
I shall cause him to forget all material desires.
Kama lagi Krishna bhaje.
If one desires in the service of engages in the service of the Lord for sense gratification.
Pai Krishna Rasi.
The result is that he ultimately gets taste for serving the lotus feet of the Lord.
Kam chari dash hoite hai abhilash.
He then gives up all material desires and wants to be an eternal servant of the Lord.
Nice. Now, when Krishna appeared in Vrindavan, he killed many demons. And I don't want you to go outside of Vrindavan yet, but I want to hear the demons that Krishna killed in Vrindavan, and I want to know how he killed them. I want to know what the demons looked like, and I want to know what the lesson is behind killing the demon in Vrindavan. And if you can't remember, then from our pundits circle over here, you'll give a charade to remind us of which demon. Advaita's the only one who likes it. I can see he's smiling. Advaita will give us, he'll lead the charge to, he'll give us some signs, physical signs, without speaking anything, to remind us. You can help too, all of you, all work together, to give us signs. For instance, if we were going to talk about, you think of one demon amongst yourselves now, and then you select somebody to give us some signs to remember the demon, and we'll guess who it is. Go ahead. Gather amongst yourselves. Don't take too long. Pick a representative to show us. See, the gopis used to do this because when Krishna was away, they would imitate his pastimes in various ways. They would go through the motions, pretend some of them they were Krishna, and then the other gopis would remember his pastimes. So this is one of the bona fide processes in remembering Krishna. Chop chop, let's go. Okay, now we're gonna guess who it is, and then somebody here is gonna volunteer to tell us more about how Krishna killed the demon. Because we like to hear how Krishna smashed him up good. Okay, go ahead. Pretty good. Yeah, we got an actor, a live actor here. He's so calm and serene, but when he gets on the stage, you know, he lets it all go. Okay, who wanted to talk about this demon? Urmi? Yeah, Putana. Say a little bit more about Putana and what the circumstances are, what it means. Anything you can tell us about the pastime. And we'll help out once you run out of gas.
Putana was, I think, the first demon which was killed by Krishna when he just came, appeared in the world. And she was sent by Kansa to kill him. And she came in one of the Vrajavasi devotee and took the Krishna away and tried to feed her, and Krishna sucked out all the milk and just killed her.
Very good. Very good. Who can give more details? Shraddha? Yes, this, we're still on Putana. Putana is a big deal. I also want to hear a verse related to this, a very important verse. Or verses. I want to hear two verses. I want to hear one from the third canto, and I want to hear one from the 10th canto, 14th chapter, about Putana. Govinda can help us with that. 10:14, you know the 14th chapter. Find the verse. Somebody get him the 10:14. He'll look it up. A verse where Brahma refers to the Putana pastime. Okay? All right, go ahead.
So, the Ahobakiyam verse from the third canto, Ahobakiyam, I don't remember the whole part of it.
Ahobakiyam stamakalakutam jikam sayapayat apyasadvi lebe katindat ruchitam tatonyam kamvadayalum sharanam brajima.
So, this is Uddhav, he's glorifying Lord Krishna, and he's saying that who would not want to worship such a merciful Lord who actually granted the position of dhatri, a nurse, to Baki, that is Putana, who had actually come to kill him.
What does Baki mean? Why is he called? Why is Uddhava calling Putana Baki? For 20 points, this is a lot of points. What does Baki sound like? Another demon.
Bakasura.
So there's Bakasura and there's Baki. What do you think the relationship is, considering that Putana is a girl? Don't call a friend yet, and don't send lifelines for free. Go ahead. Give us. You're considered
brother and sister?
Don't say brother and sister. Say brother and sister. Brother and sister. Say it.
Brother and sister.
Correct. Better when you give an answer, give it strong. And if you miss it and go down in flames, then we'll correct you. Don't do it halfway. Okay, very good. There's Baki is the sister of Bakasura. And what else were you saying? You were quoting the verse. This was Uddhava saying, Kamvadayalam Sharanam Brajema. Who would take shelter of anyone else other than Krishna? He's so merciful that when Baki, the sister of Bakasura, came to kill him, he only considered the fact that she held him like a mother and tried to feed him her breast milk. And she gave him, Krishna gave her the position of a mother in the spiritual world, very special thing, just because of that. This is the special benediction of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's so merciful and so powerful that of all the different forms of Krishna, when he kills a demon, when somebody thinks of him even for a moment, then they get the highest benediction of all. So Uddhava, the best of all devotees, Harivasara, he's saying, who would take shelter of anyone else? So you're in the right place. This is where we come together to remember Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in our line specifically, we're remembering him in Vrindavan, Mathura, and Dwarka, but especially Vrindavan. Yes. Yes. More. Arudeho, Arudeho Bhai. Give us more. Give us more. Anior, Anior.
Also, Putana and her previous
Life was the sister of Bali Maharaj. And when Vamadev came to request three steps of land from Maharaj Bali, then for some moments she desired to have a child like Vamanadev, but then when Vamadev took away everything from Bali Maharaj, then she desired that he be killed. So that's why in the next life Krishna fulfilled both her desires.
Okay, we'll take it, but I just want to make a footnote on that, and that our resident pundit Mukunda Dutto would not confirm that he could find that anywhere in our authoritative Shastra. So that particular story, although it's widely given in ISKCON circles, I'm not saying one way or another. All I'm saying is what Mukunda Dutto said, and that is, he said, I cannot confirm that I've found this in an authoritative Shastra. Just FYI. Okay, go ahead.
It's very graphically described by Shukadeva Goswami what transpires. She comes as a very beautiful lady. Everybody mistook her for somebody who is very caring to Krishna. And that also shows a very gentle nature of Rajvasis, that anybody giving anything to Krishna, please come on, welcome. You take the kid and you feed him. She starts feeding, but then she had nefarious desires and Krishna closed his eyes for several reasons. First, that he was thinking that what is this, the first demon I have to kill is a woman. And second, he didn't like the duplicitous nature, that although feeding as a mother, but then the desire of killing. So he closed the eyes and first he started Krameneva Praliyate, step by step. He first took the milk and then started taking the life. So she blew up into a very big...
Took the poison too.
Poison too, yes. First poison, then milk, and then started taking the life. And then it's described by Shukadeva Goswami how she blew up into a very big size and started screaming, Muncha, Muncha, leave me, leave me. And now Krishna kills, as they say, many birds with one stone or similar. That the destruction happened only on the Kamsa's forest. The garden of Kamsa got destroyed because Putna got killed there. And because Krishna has sucked out such life air, but Krishna is not only negative, he's positive. So the body when was burnt was so fragrant as though a guru is being burnt. So all the Brajvasis were very astonished that this is this demon, she came, who is killing? Maybe Narayan protected Krishna, but how is this beautiful smell coming out after Putna is being burned? And then they took Krishna and did all the tantra mantra puja, all the smelling the head and taking the cow's tail and putting on the head and bathing with cow urine and dressing him and so on and so forth. So Shukadeva Goswami, he again and again calls Nripa, Nripa, and our acharyas tell that he's in so much ecstasy, he's again calling the name, like, O King, O King, O King, like that. So he's in complete ecstasy, because this was also the verse which brought him, the pastime, which kind of brought him back from the impersonal fold to the personal fold. So he's super ecstatic while narrating this.
Who wasn't there during the killing of Putana, but who was extremely amazed for a variety of reasons when he saw that there had been this calamity and that this demoness had been killed. You were going to say? Go ahead.
Nand Maharaj was not there.
Give full sentence and explanation.
At that time, Nand Maharaj had gone to Mathura to pay his taxes.
Yes.
And Vasudev came there to meet Nand Maharaj. And Vasudev asked for the well-being of the cows and everyone there in the Gokul. And Prabhupada says in Krishna book that he was asking because he wanted to know about Krishna and Balram. They were his sons, but Nand Maharaj knew only Balram to be his son. He didn't know that Krishna was also his son. So Basudev also said that I got a new life after getting freedom from Kamsa's prison, but he was indirectly referring about Krishna getting freed. Then at the end of the discussion, Vasudev said, I think you should go back because there might be some troubles in the Vrindavan. In Gokul. And then they left, but before even they reached Gokul, the incident of Putna had already happened. And they saw a big giant demon with the eyes like deep dark wells, with a belly like a lake, dried lake, with the thighs like banks of a river, and with breasts like small hills, with teeth like plows, and reddish eyes. So they saw all this 12 miles long body, and so they were just amazed what has happened. And Krishna was playing on the top of that big body. So that was something that they were shocked to see, I think. Nanda Maharaj.
So what did Nanda Maharaj think? When he saw that, what was his first impression?
Nanda Maharaj?
Yes, because he thought Vasudev must be some kind of a mystic.
He knew it, I think.
How could he have known?
Yeah.
And Prabhupada sensed, because Nanda was a Vaishya and Vasudev was a Kshatriya. Vasudev could ascertain from the circumstances something was going to happen, not exactly what would happen, but Nanda shows his very sweet simplicity that he accepted. Oh, this Vasudev must be some mystic. He could tell something this was going to happen. He was telling. Very well done. Excellent, Malini.
As Harivamsa Prabhu was mentioning, there were three reasons why Krishna closed his eyes. One was, as Prabhu mentioned, that he did not want to kill a woman, so that's why he closed. The other reason was that she killed so many children, so he didn't want to see the face of one who killed so many children. And the third reason was that when Putana was coming to see Krishna, somehow within her heart she felt that he's something extraordinary. And then when she tried to take him into his lap, she was hesitating for a moment to put him into her lap. Then Krishna wanted to a pastime to go on. That's why he closed his eyes, so that she could forget that, and she could put Krishna into her lap.
So the Pandit circle over here, what metaphor is used in relationship to Putana seeing Krishna, the baby, there, very soft, nice baby, but then of course he had the capability of killing her? And what metaphor is used in that in relationship to describe that situation? Somebody here, you can give no answer. I want you to give a physical demonstration, a charade, to explain. Come on, adults, work on it. Okay, stand up. Harivamsa. He's good at theater arts also. Okay, watch him. Don't say anything. What metaphor is he using? So, tell the metaphor. Soft, but strong and could kill at the same time. So? Sword and? It's two things. You got to help him out more. You got half of it. What's the other half?
The sword thing.
Sword and the?
And the
sheath. So why does that, how does that metaphor work with Putana seeing Krishna? And wait, give him the mic, he's fired up.
It's the sword is dangerous when it's out of its sheath, but when it's inside, it's like soft and it's nice and not that. that sharp.
Keep going. Related to Krishna and Putana. Krishna and Putana.
Well, Krishna was, he was like as soft, and he was soft as he was in the sheath. And then once he wanted to kill Putana, he came out of the sheath and he became dangerous like a sword.
Yes! Well done! Bravissimo! Okay. Yes. You could do your thesis paper on Putana.
But one thing also you asked that what they represent. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur has mentioned that Putana represents the false spiritual master, like those who in disguise of like feeding the milk, actually the Putana was trying to feed the poison. Similarly, the false spiritual master, in the guise of knowledge, they give like where is a voidism or impersonalism or the things. And maybe our pandits say from Isopanishad, what verse from the Isopanishad says that?
Ask for more information and then give him the verse.
That
ask him for what information you want. Ask him questions.
Yes, so the Putana represents the false guru. So how the false knowledge is more dangerous than the real knowledge is mentioned in the Isopanishad.
I know they've got that one. She has it. She's good at Ishapanishad.
What?
It's a pundit circle. You can all help each other in this circle. Can't go outside your circle. Try to make a mistake. We give cash for mistakes. But let me see if I have any. Okay. Go ahead.
Wait, was it Saparya?
Help her out. Discuss Saparya. Amongst your pundit friends.
Wait, which one is it?
So listen. It relates to how if you have knowledge... If you have mundane knowledge, right? So, if you have ignorance, that's bad. Ignorance is bad, right? Say yes.
Yes.
But so-called knowledge, that's worse. Anshu's got it. Help Anushri. What's the verse? You got it?
Saparya gach chakram akayam.
The other one. Anshu?
Okay, I'm gonna.
That's
guess.
A good verse, and that's the Anushri verse, but that's not it.
Anushri verse.
Is it Vayu or Anilam or what? No, it's not.
A clue. It's got the word vidya and avidya in it, right? Okay, go ahead, Avantika. You can always look at the book.
Anyad eva her vidya, anyad ahur avidya, iti shishimati ranam vienastat vijachakshir. Wait, no, we just did.
Translation, get the book. Who's got the Sri Shapanishad? Look it up, come to a definitive answer amongst yourselves, and then elect somebody to say it for us. We're almost there. Who's got the book? You got it? Okay. Always have your shastra with you. That's your secret weapon. You guys are specializing in Sri Shapanishad, so you should always have it with you.
Not this one. Annam tama pravishyanti ye vidyan upasate tatu bhuya ivate tamo ya uvidyayamrata.
Now everyone say it without looking.
Annam tama pravishyanti ye vidyan upasate tatu bhuya ivate tamo ya uvidyayamrata.
Now give us the translation.
Those who engage in the culture of nascent activity shall enter into the darkest region of ignorance. Worse still are those engaged in the culture of so-called knowledge.
Verse number?
9.
Now will you always remember this from now on?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Very good, very good. Okay, and I've just been handed a shastra, and this is from the 10th canto, 14th chapter, in which the Lord Brahma says, Esham gosha vivasinam, this is 10:14:35. Esham gosha nivasinam utabhavan kim devaratetinash cheto vishvapalat palam taraparam kutrapayan huhyati sadveshad eva putanapi sakula tvam eva deva pitta yadharmata surit priyatmatanaya pranashayastvat krite. My mind becomes bewildered just trying to think of what reward other than you could be found anywhere. You are the embodiment of all benedictions which you bestow upon these residents of the cowherd community in Vrindavan. You have already arranged to give yourself to Putana and her family members in exchange for her disguising herself as a devotee. So what is left for you to give to these devotees of Vrindavan, whose homes, wealth, friends, dear relations, bodies, children, and very lives and hearts are all dedicated unto you? Isn't that a beautiful verse? What a wonderful expression, again, of the same mood that Uddhava had, in that this is Krishna so magnanimous. He gave so much to Putana, what to speak of those who worship Krishna. And Putana was a demoness. Yes. Okay, give us another demon. One more from Vrindavan. And then we're going to move to Mathura. What's that? From what?
Listen, can I give you from the same family?
From the same family. Oh. Okay, give us everyone now figure out which demon that Krishna is killing. Agasura. Krishna killed Agasura, and we want to know the circumstances under which he killed Agasura. What day did it take place? What was special about that day? What did the cowherd boys think? What did Krishna think? What happened in this case when Krishna killed Agasura? Fill us in. Who's starting their thesis paper? This is Harivamsa Prabhu. That's what you're doing up there in Seattle. He's doing a thesis paper on Agasura. Okay.
Shukadeva Goswami explained the Brahma Vimohan Leela. Shukadeva Goswami explained the Agasura killing pastime, and he told that the cowherd boys heard about it after 1 year. So that is a speciality about this pastime. This pastime especially happened on Balaram Jayanti. Balaram had not gone to the cowherd pastures to play with Krishna and take lunch because Rohini and Yashoda kept them for some special events, including giving charities to Brahmanas on the occasion of their birthday. In this pastime, Brahma was observing Krishna playing with his different cowherd boys, and he was very unusually surprised seeing their activities, such as directly taking a finger and pulling out a morsel from the mouth of Krishna and taking it. Krishna holding yoga tries in his left hand and not eating with the right hand. And then when Madhu Mangal asked Krishna to please share some of the buttermilk, he just punched on his cheek and out came the buttermilk right into his mouth. So when Brahma, who is highly sophisticated and trained in the mannerisms of Brahma Loka, couldn't just figure out that this could be Ishvara Parama Krishna, of course he said that later, but the Supreme Lord, different acharyas explained that he was bewildered. Some say that he just wanted to prove out. But Prabhupada said he had some pride. So he thought of testing it, and he first took away the cowherd boys and the cows. First the cows, then Krishna went searching for the cows. The cowherd boys, he told cowherd boys, you take prasadam, I'll search. Then he took away the cowherd boys. And acharyas explained that actually there were then three sets. One was actually taken by Yogamaya, then Mahamaya created another form which Brahma took, and then Krishna, realizing that he has to teach Brahma a lesson, manifested himself into another set. And these set then went to Vrindavan, and there Shukdev Goswami takes a point to give a deep philosophical explanation that why everybody started loving so dearly, because after all it's Krishna and the most dear to person is Krishna. And actually I'm describing Brahma Vimhan Leela. so
it's related.
It's related, yes.
It's related.
Yeah. And then after he described Brahma Vimhan Leela, then the Aghasur pastime is described, that how they saw a big demon who wanted to kill Krishna, but first his devotees, because he knew that devotees are life of Krishna. He opened his mouth, became a big serpent. The devotees walked in with multiple objectives that we don't know. Anyway, it's demon. Krishna has always protected. He will still protect. And then they went inside.
But now, because you told a summary of both and a lot of detail on the first one, just tell us in one brief statement how the two are related. What's very interesting about the chronology?
When Brahma observed, some of his members told Brahma, this is Krishna has killed Aghasura. And then Brahma also was relating these two events, that Krishna is behaving in an unsophisticated manner and he's killing Aghasura, I'm not sure, so let me test out.
But according to the opinion of Malini, you know what I'm thinking? According to the question of Parikshit Maharaj, why was he interested in the chronology? What was interesting about the chronology and how does it relate to the Brahma Mohan and Gita?
Because the gopas were stolen for a year. They only told the story after 1 year about Aghasura.
So he said, why you only told it after 1 year? Then we get the reason, right?
Then next Balaram Jayanti.
Yes. Very good. Well done. Sadhu, sadhu. More about Aghasura. Let's hear more. Yes.
Just wanted to mention the 1 year thing, right? So, why was it 1 year? Because it was one moment in Brahmalok, and one moment in Brahmalok is equal to 1 year in earth life.
Good to know. Yes.
So, one very unique thing in Krishna's Leela, killing Aghasura. So, actually, a question for all the kids. can one of you answer, this happened in only this killing of a demon in Vraj, while killing of Aghasura. What was one thing different by Krishna and why? Sorry?
Prekishori's got an answer. Go ahead.
After killing Aghasura, the spirit...
spirit soul.
The spirit soul merged back with...
When did it merge?
Right after he split the serpent.
Not satisfied, say more. How? What were the circumstances? Is that what you're looking for? But in any case, let's go into that since you brought it up. Once Krishna went inside, go ahead. Aprame.
Is it because like his devotees were like they fainted or whatever, they were unconscious, and then he had to revive them?
I don't think that's unique to that pastime. Yes. Part.
Is it because whenever he killed the other demons, he didn't have to change his size or form, but when he killed Agassur, he had to change his size?
Mayapur, we accept that? What about when he killed Keshi? He inflated his fist. It got bigger. But still, you accept? Okay. All right. We have more about Agasura. Keep going. We're still on Agasura. This pastime is so potent that Shukadev Goswami says, if one, even for a moment, even by force, can keep the form of the Lord within one's mind, one attains the highest destination of life. And he gives Agasura as an example. He was one of those feared demons by even all the devas. However, he was so blessed by Krishna. Krishna had walked within his mouth. Great yogis endeavor for many millions of years. Give me a Brahma Samhita verse which says this. And then Krishna stands for it. Yes? Pantastu koti shatavatsara sambragamyo vayoradhapi manaso munipungavanam sokyasti yatra parasinya vichintya tatve Govinda Mari Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Yes, so Agasura was so blessed and Parikshit Maharaj was amazed, and Shukadev Goswami says this shows the power of Krishna, that just by remembering him, just by coming in contact even briefly, one can attain the perfection of life. And Agasura was so blessed by Krishna. Advait, more about Agasura.
For the answer to Prabhupada's question, is it that Krishna's friends willingly put themselves in danger because they knew Krishna would save them? Like, they went into the Agasura's mouth knowing that Krishna would save them if anything bad happened?
Is that a question? It's a statement.
Answer to Mayapur's question.
But I thought your question was already answered. Was already answered, but in what circumstances do you walk into an apparent mouth of an Agasuric demon and you're unafraid because you're in the protection of Krishna? Give us a regular circumstance, metaphorically. Hint, it has to do with Sankirtan. Yes?
Sometimes during Sankirtan, we approach people who might seem like drunk, or like it might not seem safe to approach someone during book distribution or during Sankirtan, but devotees do it anyways and put themselves at an apparent risk.
Yeah, you go in their house sometimes? Of course, you go in as a group, all the cowherd boys and girls. And hopefully Nanda Maharaj is there. But it's like that. We're going out. We don't know where we're going, into train stations, and we go into airports. We go into houses to present Srimad Bhagavatam. It's like entering into Agasura. And we all look around and we go, okay, Krishna's there with us. So we go on Sankirtan. Thank you very much. Okay. From online we have some more. Okay. You have it? Okay, let's hear it. What's the verse?
So it goes.
Verse number?
10, 12, 39.
10, 12, 39. Wherever Govinda went, you can come back. 10, 12, 39. Go ahead, Priya Kishori.
The Sanskrit?
Yeah.
Sakit yadanga patimant tava hita. Sakit yadanga patimant tava hita. Mano mani bhagavati vadogatam. Sa eva nityatma sukhanu bhutyabhi. Vyutastamayantaragato hikim punaha.
I think I was a little off on the meter. If even only once, or even by force, one brings the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead into one's mind, one can attain the supreme salvation by the mercy of Krishna, as did Agassura. What then is to be said of those whose hearts the Supreme Personality of Godhead enters when he appears as an incarnation, or those who always think of the lotus feet of the Lord, who is the source of transcendental bliss for all living entities, and by whom all illusion is completely removed?
Anybody who likes this verse, say Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna!
Anybody who likes it a lot, say Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna!
Anyone who wants to hear the purport, say Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna!
You're up, purport.
The process for receiving the favor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is described here. Yatpada pankaja palasha vilasa bhaktya. Simply by thinking of Krishna, one can attain him very easily. Krishna is also described as having his lotus feet always within the hearts of his devotees, Bhagavan Bhakta Hridhisthitaha. In the case of Aghasura, one may argue that he was not a devotee. The answer to this is that he thought of Krishna for a moment with devotion, Bhaktyaham Ekaya Grahyaha. Without devotion, one cannot think of Krishna, and conversely, whenever one thinks of Krishna, one undoubtedly has devotion. Although Agassura's purpose was to kill Krishna, for a moment Agassura thought of Krishna with devotion, and Krishna and his associates wanted to spit within Agassura's mouth. Similarly, Prithana wanted to kill Krishna by poisoning him, but Krishna took her as his mother because he had accepted the milk of her breast. Svalpanapyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. Especially when Krishna appears as an avatar, anyone who thinks of Krishna in his different incarnations, Ramadi Murti Shukala Niyamena Tishthan, and especially in his original form as Krishna, attains salvation. There are many instances of this, and among them is Agassura, who attained the salvation of Sarupya Mukti. Therefore, the process is satatam kirtayantramam yatantascha drihavrataha. Those who are devotees always engage in glorifying Krishna, advaita nakshatra manadi mananta rupam. When we speak of Krishna, we refer to all his avatars, such as Krishna, Govinda, Narayana, Vishnu, Lord Chaitanya, Krishna Balaram, and Shama Sundara. One who always thinks of Krishna must attain vimukti, special salvation, as the Lord's personal associate, not necessarily in Vrindavan, but at least in Vaikuntha. This is called Sarupya Mukti.
Govinda. Tell us, okay, go ahead. And then Priya Kishori wants you to tell us how you found that verse.
Maharaj, I am very curious why Aghasura got Sarupya Mukti. Because Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Jaya Dharma says that all the atheistic demons, even who are killed by Krishna, at the most they can get Brahma Sayujya Mukti, or they will be in the Pitra Lok somewhere. So why is Sarupya Mukti?
Well, do you have the Sarta Darshini here? If I remember correctly, it has to do with the word vimukti and the very special case of Agassura, in that Krishna actually entered his mouth and put his lotus feet within his mouth. That's why the word vimukti is used in the verse, because it's not just mukti, it's vimukti. It's a very special kind of liberation that he attained.
He entered the mouth of Bakasura also, but Bakasura got Brahma Sayuji Mukti.
Well, yes. What's that? Yes.
I had heard that for a few moments the Gwalas on the Krishna's boyfriend, and they enjoyed thinking the tongue is a slide, and that was the enjoyment they got, you know, as if for which the credit was given to Agasura. That
from where?
You know, during that brief moment.
No, I understand, but it's in, where's your source? What's your reference?
Yeah, I heard in one of the lectures.
Okay, if you can, you found something? Is it the Sarta Darshini? See if you can find anything about the reference to the kind of liberation that he attained. To be looked into. Very important. Yes. Online we have right after Malini.
In Namashtakam, Rupa Goswami, the pastime of Agasura is described by when he's saying the different
names.
Everyone
say the whole verse.
Agadamana
Yashoda Nanana Nandasuno Kamalanayana Gopi Chandra Vrindavanindraha Pranatakaruna Krishna Ityanika Swarupe
Twai
Mama Ratir Uchara Vardhatam Namateya.
I was just remembering that that verse that Rupa Goswami is saying, like, may my love for you increase as you appear in different forms, like
Agadhamana.
Yeah.
So very sweet to remember how Krishna is going through Vrindavan, and actually it's mentioned in this pastime of Agasura that by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur that the, unless there were these demons to kill, the children, they like to play so much. And they wouldn't stop playing all day long to take their lunch even. So the, many of his pastimes are punctuated by the stopping to kill a demon so that they can have, in the drama, they can stop and have some time for lunch just afterwards. Agadamana. Everyone say Agadamana.
Agadamana.
Okay, now we have some more evidence from the Shastra. And we want to hear which verses you quoted from the Sri Upanishad today in just 1 second and why you quoted them. Okay, go ahead.
So, for the same verse, the commentary, I think, by Bhama Maharaj, and of course it's by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, it alludes to the same point that what Mahapuri Prabhu said. Do not, I'll just read a paragraph from it. When Krishna appears as an avatar, anyone can attain his transcendental abode simply by contact. Because of the extra surge of his perfect Kripa Shakti at that time. That is why it is said, one who approaches me in a mood of either lust, anger, fear, affection, oneness, friendship or devotion will surely attain love for me that is of that nature. Do not think that this is astonishing for Krishna, the master of yoga. He gives liberation not only to humans, but also to non-moving entities. Krishna's awarding liberation to his enemies is a remarkable quality in his completeness. Krishna reciprocates according to the mood of the person approaching him. From the statement that Agasura's body became the playground for the boys for many days, it should be understood that the demon's unfavorable attitude had been transformed into a favorable attitude. Agasura had attained Sarupya Mukti in Vaikuntha, but he did not attain a form in Vrindavan because of his lack of Rajabhakti.
Did that help? In what way did it help?
It helped to know that Lord actually reciprocates as, even if you have Agyat Sukriti, even if you are, you have bad intention, you have Agyat Sukriti, you can actually get a much more elevated position, and Lord is extremely merciful. So instead of Brahma Sayuji Mukti, he got Sarupi Mukti. At least he went to, you know, Vaikunth, where he was able to have a, you know, personal relationship with the Lord and other associates. So definitely Lord was very merciful.
Okay, very good. And as there was an important verse alluded to there from the 7th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, 7.130, which goes... Please repeat. Kama dveshad bhayat snehad. Yatha bhakti shvare manaha. Avesha tadakam nitva. Bhavastad gatin gata. Many, many persons have attained liberation simply by thinking of Krishna with great attention and giving up sinful activities. This great attention may be due to lusty desires, inimical feelings, fear, affection, or devotional service. Now give me a verse from the Brahma Samhita that says much the same thing. Yam ka yat krodha kama sahaja pranayari piti Batsalya moha guru gaurava sevya bhavai Satasya sadrishim tanam apurete Govinda mari purusham tamaham bhajami. Now for the how did you find that verse? I brought it up, you overheard it, and what process did you use to find it?
Actually, I was looking through the chapter previously because you were talking about the glories of Agasura, and usually there's a pattern in Srimad Bhagavatam that after every verse, Shukadeva Goswami gives more like a palashruti of the benefits that one gains by reading that chapter. Like, for example, the Brahmaraja's chapter, he says if one reads three times, you attain like fame and all these things. Like when you said that simply by force, you will get, remembrance of, you'll have these benefits, but even by force remembering. So I thought I'd look towards the end of the chapter, and I found this verse.
Very good. We'll take it. Okay, now we'd like to have a summary from the Pundit Circle. And in this summary, the first thing we'd like to know is which verses from the Shri Upanishad you quoted today and why?
We quoted verses 9 and 13.
Okay. What are those verses and why did you quote them?
Okay, so number 13 was...
You know by memory, just try to say it.
Okay. Anya devahu sambhavad, anya dahura sambhavad, iti shushrimadhi ranam genastad vichachakshiri. So the verse talks about how there's one result if you worship the Supreme, but there's another verse if you worship, consequence if you worship the so-called Supreme. And you were talking about in the morning how here in Silicon Valley, we all worship like CEOs, athletes, and movie stars.
Yeah, and what happens then?
It doesn't give the same result.
And what's the result when you worship Krishna, when you think of Krishna and worship Him?
You can go back to Godhead.
Yes, and so many great benefits, even for a moment. Very good. Come on, summarize. What else do we have here? What other verse did you quote?
Number 9.
Someone? Spokesperson?
We've also quoted verse number 9, which
we're looking.
Is Annam Thama Pravishyanti Ye Vidyam Upashite Tata Bhuya Evite Thamo Yu Vidyaya Yamrita.
Yeah,
Yu Vidyaya Yamrita. And it stated that those who engage in the culture of nation activities enter into the darkest region of ignorance. And worse are still those who enter in, who are so-called knowledge.
It's a different verse. We're looking for another verse. We're saying that so-called knowledge is worse. Yes. That's about worshiping the demigods and then worshiping the impersonal absolute, right? Anyadevahur vidyaya, anyadahur avidyaya. It's got the word avidyaya into it. No?
Mantra 10. Yeah. We didn't.
Let's see the translation. Translation, please. Oh, that's it? Okay, you got it. Sorry, my apologies. Say it again. Translation.
Translation. Those who engage in the culture of nation activities shall enter into the darkest region of ignorance. Worse still are those engaged in the culture of so-called knowledge.
Very good. Any other conclusions or any other verses? Pundit Circle, conclusions, summaries. Important points that were brought out in this morning's discussion. Vijay, oh yes, anything?
No.
Okay, Vijay Damodar Prabhu. Pass him a mic. Doesn't have to come from the front.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. So it's not really a conclusion, but just a point on what Govindas Prabhu was talking about, the Swarupa Mukti. I was just wondering that the way Krishna killed this particular demon was entering the body completely. And so for all practical purposes, Krishna got embodied as a snake. So we know that material world is a reflection of the spiritual world. So at the point of death, Krishna took the prakriti of a snake. And therefore, when he got translated to the spiritual world, he got Swarupa Mukti because the roop is same. So Krishna took the roop of a snake in a way because he is enveloped by the snake from the outside. And therefore, when he got translated, it got reversed, and that's why the Swarupa Mukti happened.
Pramanam?
Oh, this is a understanding. I don't know about it.
Just bring Pramanam and then we'll take it.
Thank you.
Any Pramanam we'll do. Yes.
I was trying to remember, but I couldn't remember. What is the anartha that Agasura and Putana actually connect to?
Putana was described by Mukharavinda Prabhu.
False spiritual
false
master.
False guru. False teachers in general. That's why, isn't that in the context we brought out the verse? Number 9. Okay. And Agasura, you know?
Yeah. Guru. Okay.
Internet is telling you. The internet is speaking now. It will give you the answer.
I wanted to mention that because we have Vrindavan on.
Vrindavan is on.
Yes,
everyone on say Hare Krishna Vrindavan. Hare Krishna.
And he's been saying a lot, and which has been getting covered here and there. So I'm just going to pick up the one that Sukeshwari Mati has asked. So Aghasura represents violence, the tendency of the mind to commit violence to others, and Krishna vanquished that offensive mentality in Aghasura.
Vrindavan's part of a remote pundit circle.
Yeah, he had also commented on when we were discussing Bhakti, and he had mentioned that how Krishna actually accepts the least qualification from us and gives us the highest reward.
Yes, that's important to remember. So, come vaya dayalung sharanam vrajanima, who wouldn't take shelter of Krishna? This is these questions are asked frequently throughout the Bhagavad. Kova Bhagavatastasya Konakurya Katarinim. You know, who won't listen to this? If all such benefits are there, you know, who won't listen? Who won't worship? The only answer comes out in the beginning of the 10th canto when Shukadeva Goswami says, what is the verse? No, the Sanskrit? Huh? Yeah. 10th canto, first chapter. It's a common verse. Nivrittatarsher upagiyamana bhavau shadash chotramano biramat kautama shloka gunanivadat puman virajeta vinapashugnat. Somebody who's killing himself or killing animals will not be interested in this. Otherwise, who wouldn't take it? So we're going to extend this session for 24 hours all the way until midnight. So we're all staying in, okay? Wait for Hansapriya to... Hansapriya is going to come running in here in a minute. I just want to say that as far as I'm concerned, those who stay to clean the temple after the midnight hour, these are the Maharaj Pratapurujas, who will very particularly be noticed by the Lord. Those who make sure that our restrooms at ISV are spotless, no matter how many people go through them and throw whatever around the room, but it's a constantly spotless. They're the Maharsh Pratyaparujas. Those who do selfless service without caring who's watching, but knowing that the Supreme Lord is watching from within their heart, and they cooperate and do whatever is needful during the festival, these are the Maharsh Pratyaparujas. And what happened to Maharsh Pratyaparuja? He was noticed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu revealed himself in the dancing at Rathiatra only to a few devotees, and one of them was Maharsh Pratyaparuja, and one of the reasons was because of his menial selfless service. So this festival coming up is an opportunity for such acts of pure devotion, which simply mean doing the needful and not caring who gets the credit, and doing the kinds of work that actually Lord Chaitanya will notice. Yes?
I just wanted to mention that Sudeep Prabhu cleans the bathroom every Sunday.
And you know what? And whenever you see him coming out of there, you'll see complete bliss, because he's doing a service that where he's feeling immediate reciprocation from the Supreme. So those of you who, all the services are important, everything. Every service is very important. I'm just bringing out some of the ones that sometimes you think, well, I'd rather do this and not that. But all the services that we do, if we do in the same mood, will also be noticed by Lord Chaitanya. But I'm just bringing out that the mood is, and the purpose of our coming together for this Janmashtami is to see how much we can serve Krishna selflessly. And by selfless service only can we feel satisfied. And can we satisfy Krishna? So this is our time to shine in that way. Everything that we've learned, heard, to come together to cooperate and do the needful for the Janmashtami ceremony. This is an addendum.
Thank you. Hearing these past times, we know that Putana and
she wants to keep going 24 hours. Okay, very good. Go ahead.
They actually wanted to kill Krishna. They had the intention of killing Krishna, and yet they attained some sort of mukti. For Vaishnavites who have consciousness of Krishna, even if it's for a brief moment, can we make any assumptions that we are definitely closer to Krishna than...
We don't have to make assumption, because it's there in the Shastra. We have Pramanam. And we're going to get it from Sundar right now. He's going to quote from the Bhagavad Gita, second chapter, 40th verse, or some other place.
Neha bikramana shosti pratyavayana vidyate sva alpamapi asya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayan. So the translation is just paraphrasing it, that even if we have a brief touch with a devotional service, then that will save one from the greatest fear.
Is that what you had in mind?
Yes, Prabhu.
When I interjected?
No, one more. Yes. The one more point I had from Agasura's pastime was that in that pastime, actually Krishna, for a moment, he becomes astonished. Vishwanatha Chakrathakur comments that for a moment the Lord becomes astonished because he sees his friends actually going into the mouth of the demon. Of course, after that, you know, the Lila Shakti comes in, and then his compassion comes forth, and then he goes and protects his devotees. But the commentary talks about how the Lord is thinking that I didn't want my friends to go into the demon's mouth, and then how did this happen? Is it because of the cowherd boys doesn't have the karma to go into a demon's mouth, and he is thinking like that? And then the commentary is that because the cowherd boyfriends wanted to be protected by the Lord, their desire won over, and the Lila Shakti had to arrange this scenario.
That was addendum 2, now we have addendum 3. You were going to say something too?
No, I just wanted to add to Shipram Bhavati Dharmatma
Shashvat Shanti Nigachati
Kaunteya Parijanihi Name Bhakta Pranashyati. In the similar vein.
Tell her what it means.
That very soon that Dharmatma, Shripum Bhavati Dharmatma, Shashvat Shanti Nigachati gets the peace. And Kaunteya, O son of Kunti, you declare boldly that my devotee will never perish. Name Bhakta Pranashyati. So, more hope than a hope, okay, as it can be.
Okay? Gopinande Nitai Gaura Haribo 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 Nitai Gaura Haribo Nitai Gaura Haribo Go Haribo Nitai Gaura Haribo.
Natchari Ar Marman Natchari Ar Marman Natchari Ar Marman. Hey! Natchari Ar Marman Natchari Ar Marman Natchari Ar Marman Natchari Ar Marman.